I'm Lucy Duran and welcome to World Roots. This month, I travelled to China's largest province, Xinjiang, in search of mukam, traditional music of the Uyghur people. It's market day here in Kashgar. This is the livestock market. There are lorries going by with bulls. There are donkeys going by, donkey carts carrying lambs. There are cows being sold. Horses are being paraded around. Riders are galloping through the fields, yelping because they're unbroken in horses. It can be quite scary at times. I was nearly run over by an enormous bull and then almost charged into by a horse. And there's a lot of traffic here, a lot of people buying livestock. And I can well believe when they say that up to 100,000 traders and shepherds come into this livestock market on a Sunday. Kashgar, on the western frontier of China, has always been an important trading town. For centuries, it was a crossroads on a silk route. There's a unique and very special culture here in the Xinjiang Uyghur Autonomous Region. Its trading links, its dramatic and harsh desert landscape, and its proximity to Central Asian cultures has given this area of China a celebrated musical tradition, and that's why I'm here, to record the Xinjiang mukam of the Uyghur people.
Yeah. ayağda tesretli. Sözünü eyleniz evrat, tüm başını kelgen dertli. Dertli levhi, mazarın var.
Within half an hour of arriving in Xinjiang, in the northwest of China, we were setting up our equipment and recording the wonderful group you just heard. They're the ensemble of the Xinjiang Arts Institute. They're actually based in Urumqi, the capital of Xinjiang, and what we heard there was a section of the Uyghur 12 Mukam, the characteristic and refined music of the Uyghur people, once played at the courts along the Silk Road. The Uyghurs are one of China's biggest minority peoples. There are 55 official minority groups in this country, although of the massive 1.3 billion people who live in China, those minority groups only make up 6% of the population. The majority, 94%, is made up of the Han Chinese. Xinjiang is China's largest province and covers a massive one-sixth of the country's landmass. It's also home to around 9 million Uyghur people. Last week, I was in Yunnan province recording the striking polyphony of the Hani and the Yi people. I've now flown about as far as you can fly from Yunnan within China to the northwest of the country. Jiang Anshi, my guide, thought that a good place to start our journey in search of the Uyghur Mukam was the ancient Silk Route town of Kashgar. It's a place like much of China where most of the old has been replaced with new. Anshi and I headed to the old town where, with its narrow winding streets, sandstone mosques and young kids playing around every corner, you can still just about get some idea of what this important Silk Road stopover must have once been like. Just looking around me, I do feel very much as though I'm in Central Asia, not in China.
Yes, in Xinjiang, maybe they have many minorities, but majority of the population are Uyghurs. They are Muslims, therefore their culture, the music, the clothes, and the food they eat, way of life, much more lively and rich than Han Chinese like myself.
More lively and rich?
Of course, I think so.
In what way?
I think minority people are much more open. Much more free, they love life, they show their feelings, they dance, they sing. I think Han people have been so open to the modern life, but we see minority people, Uyghur here, or Yi or Han in Yunnan, they keep the tradition alive. It's what I love minority people.
One of the curious things about coming here, Anshi, is the strange time difference, because we're far to the west of Beijing, but we're still on Beijing time. So there's this odd sensation. It's the evening here in Kashgar. It's about 8 o'clock at night, but it feels like six to me. And schools are just breaking up. There's no school in Beijing that would be breaking up at 8 p.m.
Yes, also you can see a lot of people just left the work. And the shop just start to close up.
That's a very interesting reminder that even though we're here in Kashgar and the people look very Central Asian and they're Muslim and they're dressed like Muslims and we have mosques all around us, that Xinjiang is part of the People's Republic of China.
Oh, my. it is uncanny.
Well, here we are standing on what was once the Silk Road. It's quite an emotion, really, to think that I'm in this historical place. But I have to say, it doesn't look anything like I imagine it to be. It's just a modern six-lane highway leaving Kashgar and going towards Islamabad. This is the Kashgar-Islamabad highway. Once, Anshi, it was the Silk Road. Where did it actually start?
The Silk Road actually started from Xi'an. Everybody knows where Terracotta Army and horses discovered from there. So in there, in Chang'an, well, now we call it Xi'an, the camel and the horses, they were walking all the way in the muddy mountains or passes and passing here all the way.
The famous camel caravan.
Yes. Then can you imagine?
Have trodden down along this road. Well, my understanding, though, Anshi, is that the Silk Road is, in fact, a network of routes, which is why it's sometimes also called the Silk Route. So this would have been one of many ways of getting silk and lots of other goods backwards and forwards all the way from Chang'an, is that how you call it?
Yeah, in old days, now it's Xi'an.
And now it's Xi'an, all the way to Europe.
Yes.
Kashgar is actually at the confluence of two silk routes, one which goes around the north side of this vast and treacherous desert, the Taklamakan Desert, and the other one takes the southern route. And then they come together in Kashgar. And maybe in those days when they couldn't get through the mountains for maybe 6 months, maybe they were all stuck here in Kashgar, busy learning each other's music. You can imagine that there must have been an extraordinary amount of cultural interchange.
And also people, maybe many different minorities, people, and the trade people come from East Asia or from Middle East, come to this place.
And it's amazing. I'm looking at this map. Here's Xinjiang, right up in the northwest of China. We're right here, Kashgar. There's the Taklamakan Desert, right in the sort of middle of Xinjiang. And going up to the borders, it's astonishing how many countries Xinjiang borders on. Up in the northeast, Mongolia, then Russia, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, Afghanistan, Pakistan, incidentally Kashmir is there, and India. It's just amazing. I don't think I've ever been in a place that bordered on so many different countries.
Also look, it's Urumqi, the capital of the region, and it's the farthest place, like 2,000 kilometers away from the ocean.
So there's nowhere else that's as far away from the ocean as Urumqi.
Yes.
Anywhere else in the world.
Yes.
So here we are on what was once the Silk Road, now the Kashgar-Islamabad Highway. Kyrgyzstan very near us, Pakistan over there, the rest of China to the east, well and truly landlocked in the heart of the Eurasian continent.
Mazarım'a
On the other side of Kashgar, and a very different world from the congested roads, the monumental People's Square, and the giant statue of Mao, is this. We're on our way to hear the famous Uyghur 12 Mukam in its place of origin. That's a four-hour drive eastwards towards the Taklamakan Desert and along the Kunlun Mountains, a spectacular mountain range that reaches heights of up to 7,500 meters, and the dramatic geographical division between Xinjiang, where we are, and Tibet. This exuberant and noisy music that we're hearing is a band of seven drummers and a shawm called sonai. This is real precision drumming on the nagara, which is made of iron and covered in cowskin, mostly played in pairs with sticks. This music is played on lots of different occasions, including to welcome guests such as us or to mark the sun going down. It's also played at religious festivals where they honor the shrines of Muslim saints. On such occasions, I'm told, they play on the rooftops of mosques. That must be quite a sight. This is really music for celebration. They even open new shops with it. And the piece that we're hearing now is a suite of famous dances, and it's called Sanam. This type of orchestra, the shawm and drums, the sonai nagara, has been in China since the 7th century. It's found all the way through the Middle East, right up to the Balkans, and even to North Africa. If ever there was evidence of cultural exchange on the Silk Road, this is it. The four-hour drive to Sha Che, once known as Yarkand, took us right to the edge of the Taklamakan Desert. This vast and notoriously harsh desert covers an impressive 125,000 square miles. And to give you an idea, the UK is 93,000. There's no water on the desert, and as deserts go, it's cold. In fact, in the heavy snow that China suffered in early 2008, it was thought that for the first time in recorded history, the entire desert was covered in snow. And only a short time before we arrived, the temperature in this area plummeted to minus 32. Once we left Kashgar behind us, the landscape became wilder and the view less built up. Farmland was turning into desert steppe and the road was empty. One of the drivers was telling me that for almost half the year, this area is shrouded in sand. As we drove to Sha Che, one of those infamous sandstorms was blowing up. Everything was a sort of monochrome colour of chalk, with just a touch of green from the poplars. Sand was everywhere, on our faces, in our clothes, and in our equipment. Curious little sand whirlwinds dust devils, as they're known, were whipping up in the desert, and the sun above us, through the haze, was just a perfect white coin. You're listening to World Roots on the BBC. There's more from the Mukam tradition of Xinjiang province after this.
BBC.
We've seen it in the news.
The NATO attack helicopter was needed to kill three of the suicide gunmen they fired down.
We've heard about it from governments.
This part of the world is the center of a global effort to defeat Al-Qaeda.
But what of the lives of ordinary Afghans affected by the conflict?
The farmers have had AK-47s put in their hands by the Taliban leadership.
And those living there today.
New generation, they're thinking we should improve our country.
In a week of special programming, the BBC reveals another side to Afghanistan.
We want to save ourselves or our country or our people by our own hand.
Afghanistan, throughout the week, from the 25th of July.
At bbcworldservice.com, you can get more information on your favourite programmes. To get background information and find out what's coming up, just log on to bbcworldservice.com.
I'm Lucy Duran, and coming up in today's World Roots, we hear 27 musicians playing in the Mukam tradition in China's Xinjiang province. We go on to discover the Dolan tradition in Sha Che, recorded not in the official cultural theatre, but in the house of one of the very hospitable musicians who we met along the way. I also talked to Yassine Mukhpul, a local musician, about the history of this ancient music. But first, the news.
BBC News with Jonathan Izard. The media tycoon Rupert Murdoch has apologised to the British public for the activities of his newspaper The News of the World in organising the illegal hacking of thousands of people's mobile phones. In a series of newspaper advertisements signed by Mr Murdoch and headed We Are Sorry, he apologises for the serious wrongdoing and for the hurt suffered by the individuals affected. Britain's Development Minister Andrew Mitchell has arrived at a huge refugee camp in northern Kenya to see the scale of the current drought. Mr Mitchell will tour the sprawling camp at Dadaab, which is home to more than 400,000 Somalis and is badly overcrowded. Britain is announcing additional emergency aid of more than $80 million. The Japanese Olympic Committee has formally announced that Tokyo will bid to host the 2020 Olympic Games. Organisers said they wanted the Games to be a symbol of Japan's recovery from the earthquake and tsunami in March. The funeral of Otto von Habsburg, the eldest son of the last ruler of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, is taking place in Vienna today. The body of the last crown prince will be buried in the imperial crypt, with much of the pomp associated with the former empire. Dozens of Syrian opposition figures are meeting in the Turkish city of Istanbul, aiming to create a unified opposition to the government of President Bashar al-Assad. Speakers said the administration had lost its legitimacy and there was a need to find an alternative. An American spacecraft is beginning a year-long visit to Vesta, the brightest asteroid in the sky. NASA says the probe, Dawn, should now be in Vesta's orbit. While circling the asteroid, Dawn will study its surface and send back close-up images of its countless craters. A 16-kilometre stretch of one of the busiest highways in the United States has been closed in what people are calling Carmageddon. Workers have started removing a bridge as part of a project to widen the Interstate 405. They have about 50 hours to finish before Monday's rush hour and avoid gridlock. BBC World Service News.
I'm Lucy Duran and welcome back to World Roots. I'm continuing my musical journey through China's Xinjiang province. We drove many miles through sandstorms to record the famous 12 Uyghur Mukam, 12 suites, each one of which is 2 hours long, if played in its entirety.
Başım gam taş, gün pare. Tenim hecrak, gün yare. Kümür duvarda çare.
A lone voice opens, but we're about to hear the rest of the group, other musicians who've come in from villages all around this area. It was quite a sight. We walked into Shacha's small art theater, and there, sitting on the stage, lined up in three rows, were 27 musicians, dressed in brightly colored traditional Uyghur clothes and holding an incredible array of instruments, especially lutes with immensely long and slender necks that the players could barely reach the top of. As I was marveling at this sight, an official guide who'd come down with us from Xinjiang's capital made a sweeping gesture across the stage and exclaimed in one of her few English words, "Peasants!" Well, luckily they didn't understand, but technically she was right. These men and women, the most skilled performers of the Mukam tradition in this part of Xinjiang, made their living through farming and not through music. Their ancestors have worked the land of this tough desert region, and they've sung these songs for centuries. The challenge that we, or rather sound engineer James Birtwistle, had was how to record such a large group with its awkward balance of very quiet string instruments and very loud percussion in such a resonant place and with limited equipment. Most of the 40-odd kilos of World Roots field recording equipment came out, and James set to work turning the stage into a makeshift studio. Percussionists were separated from the strings. Microphones were taped to the backs of chairs in lieu of stands. Soloists were picked out with special handheld mics. From the wings of the stage, some damp mattresses were dragged out and propped up to divide the sound. Stage curtains were drawn to dampen the echo, and this was the result.
Yeah.
That was absolutely astonishing. It was 27 musicians playing all kinds of different lutes, plucked lutes and bowed lutes, and singing and percussion at the local arts theatre in Shache, which is the county town of Shache here in Xinjiang. Well, we've left the theatre now. We're having lunch, some of the typical Uyghur dishes with lamb, but some Chinese dishes as well. I'm here with Professor Zhou Ji, who's the former head of the Xinjiang Arts Research Institute in Urumqi. He's come down here with us, and he's the expert on Uyghur mukam. Could you just explain to me what mukam actually is?
Mukam started here in Xinjiang and then traveled west. Now it can be heard in 19 countries, from China in the east to Mauritania in the west. Mukam is a big classical song and dance form structured as a suite. The main mukam here in Xinjiang is known as 12 mukam, because 12 is a very lucky number in Uyghur culture. Every year has 12 months, and every day has two groups of 12 hours. 12 is a perfect number. It takes over 20 hours to perform the entire cycle.
While we were listening to this group of 27 musicians in Shache, you were telling me that the music that comes from this part of southern Xinjiang, that used to be known as Yarkand, you were telling me, Professor Zhou, that this is the original 12 Uyghur mukam. I wonder if you could explain that to me.
Mukam has a very long history. It developed in the small oasis towns throughout the giant deserts of Xinjiang. These traditions would then migrate to the courts in the larger centers. It was in this state, where the town of Shache is, and where you heard the group of 27 musicians, that the 12 mukam was formalized.
So what we're hearing now with these musicians, that is in some way close to the original 12 Uyghur mukam?
Yes, more or less. In the 1950s, we recorded a fantastic Xinjiang musician called Todi Ahong. He was the last person who could perform the entire 12 mukam. If you compare what you heard with what we recorded in the 50s, it's almost exactly the same. Without that recording, we would have no lasting record of the entire 12 mukam. It would have been lost forever.
This book that you've given me, Professor Zhou, which has been very, very helpful, I must say, in my travels here in Xinjiang as an explanation of mukam, you've written this in order to present the case for Uyghur mukam from Xinjiang to be considered as a masterpiece of the oral and intangible heritage of humanity by UNESCO. Did you receive this status? And secondly, what has it done for Uyghur mukam?
We received the UNESCO status on the 12th of November 2005. This brought with it great hope for mukam. Suddenly, an international body was paying attention to this lovely music, and as a result, the local government became more involved. As part of the World Heritage status, we have five objectives: teaching young musicians, working closely with professional mukam musicians to preserve these traditions, take the music to local schools, purchase and use modern technology to record the music, and finally, to use the media to promote these musicians and their music. And of course, you play a part in this last objective.
Thank you.
One thing that I found quite difficult going around Xinjiang is that all the towns and cities just seem to be concrete jungles, enormous wide avenues and huge cement buildings everywhere you go, hardly a tree in sight. And that makes for a kind of a bleak background to this very refined music that we've been hearing. And we started out with the marvelous professional musicians in the capital of Xinjiang, in Urumqi. And then we heard that extraordinary 12 mukam by the musicians of Xiache County, 27 musicians. Now, the third group that we are going to be hearing is a group of Dolan musicians. They come from a town not so far from Xiache, which is called Mekit. But we've met them in Xiache, and my heart slightly sank when we met the musicians in front of the cultural theatre of Xiache, the county town. And I thought, oh no, not here again. How can you understand this music until you see it in some older context? So, luckily, we drove out of town. They're going to play for us at the house of one of their friends in a village about 3 or 4 kilometres outside Xiache. And I'm walking along up to the house now, along a dirt road. It's very wintry landscape here. These mud streets are lined with poplars, and there are apricot orchards all around us, but they're only just coming into bloom. So it's a very cold and wintry day, and also there's a sandstorm blowing up. So even though it's not windy, there's this kind of film of sand that's hanging over the sky. This is the house where we're going to hear the Dolan mukam, which I'm told is one of the most kind of earthy traditions of the mukam, the Uyghur mukam. We're entering the courtyard through a very wide and quite beautiful old, but very, very low wooden door. I've got to be careful, bend down. Don't want to bang my head. So I'm just coming around the corner here because I can hear the music. Oh, God, what a fantastic sight. Beautiful raised platform that the musicians are sitting on. 6 musicians with an instrument that looks like a rabab from Afghanistan, with another one that looks like a zither, another one which is a sort of Central Asian spiked lute. And just listening to them as they're kind of tuning up and rehearsing it, I can see that this is a real crossroads music. There's some China in it and there's some Central Asian in it. That mix is just electric. And I really can see in this courtyard the true context of the music. Now I feel like I'm hearing it where it ought to be heard. Wow, I was expecting something earthy, but I didn't expect something quite that wild. It sounded even like Qawwali at moments. It sounds really ecstatic. That was the Dolan Makam, the special, special kind of makam that just comes from this area. So that was six musicians who come from a town in this region called Meket. And they've been playing inside this courtyard here on this little raised platform, which is just part of the courtyard, it must be said. It's not. This is hardly a theatre, lined with brocades and blankets. It's very, very cold. And there are people who've come in from the fields, which are just out there. They've come from their work to hear the music, and they've obviously been enjoying it a lot, and they've been dancing as well. The person who's brought me here is Yassin Mukhpul. He's one of the musicians that we heard at the beginning of the program in the ensemble of the Xinjiang Arts Institute in the capital, in Urumqi. Yassin, I was told that the special thing about these musicians is that they are Dolan. What is Dolan?
Dolan, Yanju Yuan, you.
Some people say the name comes from an ancient people called the Dolongit. Others say it derives from an important figure in Dolan folklore who was called Turan.
So you play makam. You're a great musician, Yassin, yourself. When you hear these musicians, what does this music mean to you?
When I listen to the music, I hear something that's very old and very rustic, unpolished. It reflects the life that the Dolan people lead and the tough environment that they live in. That's why the singing is so hard and rough. Because where they live is so remote, they've never really integrated with other peoples and cultures. And so their music is free of other influences. When I hear their music, I'm transported back to an ancient world of hunters and fighters.
So what were they actually singing about? Because they seemed quite passionate about it.
They're singing about life and love, and also to forget about sadness and the hardship of their daily life. They sing about hunting, working in the field, and there are also religious words from their Islamic faith. The singing makes them forget everything and makes them very happy.
So these are the musicians, six musicians from Meket, from here in the south part of Xinjiang. And they're going to do a wedding song for us, especially for World Roots.
It's been quite a trip around Xinjiang.
Such an incredible musical culture, with such an amazing story of survival from the Silk Road days. But despite its UNESCO heritage status, Uyghur music does feel like a threatened tradition. What I had thought was an astounding example of unique polyphony in Yunnan, recorded high up in the stone quarry in the mountains above the cascading rice terraces, was for the expert musicologist, Professor Zhang, a source of utter disappointment in comparison with how it had sounded 10 years ago, performed by the same villagers. And how did he know that? From a chance encounter leading to a recording of the group, now the only proof that such a way of singing had ever existed. One reason why Professor Zhou and Xin Jiang were so anxious for us to make the best recording possible of the powerful Mukam group of 27 musicians in Shache. Despite some of the difficulties of recording this music and the threat to the way of life that it represents, the farmer musicians gave it their all. Whatever the future holds for this culture, the 12 Uyghur Mukam is surely one of the great musical traditions of the world. World Roots was presented by me, Lucy Duran, and produced by James Parkin for the BBC.